in a world where options are limitless, but time is not. Two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Henson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
We decided to do something different this week. We decided to watch TV together.
Well, she offered me food, and as anybody knows, if you want me to do anything, offering me food is the best way to get me to do it.
Pretty much.
You need someone knocked off. Here, Adam, here's a sandwich. I'm like, what all's that sandwich got on it?
What am I going to do? If you take that off of it, maybe you'll do it.
Well, is there some cheese on it? All right, well, I'm in. I know it's criminal, but like, it has two different cheeses on it.
So, first, we watched something that I delightfully discovered, because I'm trying to seek out things that Netflix isn't telling me to watch.
And it, because it loves.
I know.
Do that.
And same with Hulu and all that business. I'm trying to really seek some things out that I had no idea. And I found this one to be delightful, and my high schooler was beside herself, and I believe has powered through 5 or 6 episodes. And it is called Daybreak, or Ferris Bueller and the Zombies.
I mean, in a world where we can digitally, like, de-age people and, you know, have, you know, Will Smith fighting his, you know, 20-year-old self, like, in his 50s, I'd actually kind of like to see them do de-aging Matthew Broderick and just making a sequel to Ferris Bueller in which the apocalypse does happen. Like, I know for obvious reasons we can't get John Hughes to write and direct it, but I really wouldn't mind seeing that. Like, and one of the most delightful things about this show, despite its influence from Ferris Bueller, Ferris Bueller himself is in the show, which I have to think was intentional.
Yes.
Like, he talks to the camera a lot. Like, it really does feel like somebody was just like, hey, this zombie thing, like, we've done romantic comedies with it, we've done action movies with it, you know, we've done, like, survival on this, like, what if we just do Ferris Bueller, like, with zombies and apocalypse?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what this is.
And it's got some funny. It really does. Especially if you're a teenager, you'll find it even more funny. But basically, somebody blew up something real good, and the 18 and unders were fine. But as Anna Grace pointed out, toddlers are under 18. Why don't we see them?
Well, because they can't feed themselves, and you have flesh-eating zombies running around, and I'm sure defenseless babies made righteous snacks.
Probably.
I don't want to bring anybody's day down, which I'm sure hearing flesh-eating zombies, like, dining on babies is not the headline that you want to read. But, I mean, in all likelihood, if they're not being watched, like, let's say mom and dad were killed in the incinerating, like, fire that, you know, wrecked civilization, they're probably going to get picked off pretty easy.
I just told her kids grow too fast and they couldn't cast them. But whatever, Adam.
Well, that's the reason why why you talk to your kids and I talk to mine.
Yeah. So it's 10 and up. Chloe Moritz and what's her name? Chloe. Her.
Chloe Moritz something.
Yes. Her.
Now you've given me the disease. I can't say it.
Her. Now that she's too old to play all the roles that she played, there's a girl that's playing a role that Chloe would have played.
The one that was in, she played Hit Girl in Kick-Ass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have her, and it is, the idea is you have the zombies, and you have the same cliques that you did in high school. Except this one guy didn't really fit into any of the cliques because he was, wait for it, Canadian, and he is trying to find his girlfriend who appears to be perfect. And that's
or
pretty
much
it.
Or at least in the first couple of episodes.
Yes.
It's the central thrust of at least what I'm assuming is going to be the rest of the first season.
Well, actually, because you only saw, what, one episode?
I think we'd yeah.
Maybe two?
Yeah, it was
okay.
Just the one. Yeah.
So it's all with the main character, Josh, who is very Ferris Bueller-esque. And then, a few episodes in, all of a sudden, it's the 10-year-old girl. Oh, you thought this was Josh's story? Think again. So she starts addressing the camera and doing all this stuff. So the story shifts. And then the ninja guy, now it's his story. And this is like episode 5 or 6. And it was all, the opening was all redone because he was telling his... how he came to be the ninja warrior that he is. And it was his origin story. And we're still not sure about whether or not the principal is dead or not.
Most of what you see the principal in is told in flashback before the event. Like,
yes,
I don't know if they have detailed that yet. Okay, well, good.
And something may be sprouting out of his back. But we'll see. I don't know, but it is entertaining, and it's called Daybreak.
Is its name Bueller? Bueller?
They had that down as well. You know, there's a lot of clever stuff in Daybreak. I'm thinking this is – I don't know if it said PG-14. Maybe it did. That's about right.
What? That's not a rating.
Isn't it on Netflix?
TV-14.
Yes.
Okay, I was like, PG-14 is not... Why would you even have that rating?
I don't know.
Well, it's not appropriate for 13-year-olds, but as soon as you turn 14...
Boom.
This is a pro... Boom. Appropriate. It's good. It's good.
Yeah. And I do like the running gag over which Josh he is, you know.
Wait, are you... Yeah.
Little Josh with the big truck? No. Gay Josh? No. The other gay Josh? No. Golf Josh? No.
And guys, I know. There's a lot of Joshes at our school, okay? Okay?
And they never figure it out. Anyway, so I find it very clever and delightful. And Daybreak, I so far have enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was quite delighted mm-hmm. with everything that I saw. Like,
yeah, I mean, no complaints.
Honestly, like, that's a good, like, mashup right there.
Like, freakish, Ferris but
Bueller,
much funnier.
Ferris Bueller meets The Walking Dead.
And to have Ferris Bueller actually be in it, that
is all, like, it's a cherry on top of a delicious mm-hmm. sundae.
Yeah, it really is. You're listening to Binge or Cringe, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Ellen and Adam Craven's in the podcast center talking about what's worth watching on TV and something we've been waiting for. Jack Ryan, part due.
I think it was just season 2, like. I mean, unless you want to involve the crew that brought you Airplane, I don't think it's necessarily appropriate to call it. If you're going to call it part due, you're really invoking. You're invoking Naked Gun-esque like hijinks, which this is not.
There are no hijinks in this.
Not yet, at least.
So it's more Jack Ryan, and the end of Jack Ryan season 1. Is his handler goes to Moscow? Is that it?
I think that's essentially what they're alluding
and
to.
And so he opens the case and it says, I bought you a ticket. And so we assume that he went
probably,
to Moscow.
He does not.
No, he does not do that.
Because as you and I discussed, if you have a job, you can't really just up and go to Moscow at the behest of your former supervisor mm-hmm. For... Giggles, I'm guessing.
Yeah, because I can't imagine how he would continue to be paid.
You would think, yeah, if you stop showing up. Like, I don't know that if I stop showing up at my job, they'll stop paying me. Because I have to, you know, pay bills and keep the electricity on and things like that. So I've never, like, dared to just go, well, I wonder how long they pay me if I stop showing up. I'm going to assume... Immediately, they stop paying me. But we're not going to poke that.
It is Jack. It is Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. He didn't go with the guy, and the guy is in Russia, and you're being set up for the guy isn't well, which we could have get. Imagine if Stanley from The Office was a spy, but had to run around a lot.
You know, I wonder if he auditioned, and they're like. we've already got one person from the office. Like, if we cast you, then like we've got to cast Dwight, and then like, which means we then have to give Steve Carell a call and Jenna Fischer and guys. Like, it just becomes a reunion of the office with political intrigue and spies.
Yeah,
and
I'd still watch it.
Wow, that's a great show. Yeah. I don't why
haven't they done it,
man?
I don't know. But so you have the guy, and clearly, and you know he's sick or he's going to get killed or whatever. You know something's going to happen because Jack Ryan has to go be in Russia. Otherwise,
it's you understand that it's not going to go well because Jack Ryan isn't just going to sit over there like
at his desk
doing his numerical like analytics and then they close the season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Working out. Which, man, apparently he like
a lot.
If the last time you saw Jim was not before like 13 hours or the first season of Jack Ryan, like he doesn't look quite as much like Jim anymore. If you have ever seen my head, that's essentially what his bicep is the size of now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Jim is mega ripped. I remember going into the movie 13 hours and being like, what? You cast Jim in an action movie, Michael Bay? You're dumb. This is on the same level as putting Shia LaBeouf in a movie. You're dumb, Michael Bay. Holy cow, Jim is... 13 hours completely convinced me that he was not just going to be Jim for the rest
of his
life. It's actually a pretty solid movie. It has no bearing on Jack Ryan.
No.
But... Michael Bay is also a producer on this show, so I'm assuming at some point somebody would just be like, what? Cast Jim is Jack Ryan. That's dumb. And he was like, here's this DVD.
You want to watch it?
Go home and watch it. Just go home and watch it. And they came back, and they're like, holy cow, Jim is friggin' ripped.
I was discussing
Please
this.
Stop calling him Jim. His name's John, and he's going to be Jack. And they're like, oh, Jack John. Uh-huh. Okay, all right.
I was talking about John Krasinski with a 20-something. And then I said, had she seen Jack Ryan? She had not. I said, have you seen 13 Hours? And this is what surprised me. She's not really like as into media as we are.
Yeah.
But she watches stuff.
Sure.
But she stopped me and said, oh, I own 13 Hours. It's like, oh, you are committed.
And if you will think about like the trajectory of this guy's career, he was in a remake of a British show that Martin Freeman, the character that he played, John plays.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's an acclaimed director. Like if you haven't seen Quiet Place,
it's real good.
Wow. That he also stars in. He did a pretty solid action movie, was about 4 seconds away from being cast as Captain America before Chris Evans like swooped in there. He is now Jack Ryan, which is a role previously inhabited by Harrison Ford, Alec Baldwin, Chris Pine, and he apparently is about to be cast as Mr. Fantastic in the Marvel.
What?
It's not confirmed, but they're saying like they want him and Emily Blunt for Fantastic Four to play Invisible Woman and Mr. Fantastic, respectively. I'm just saying everything's coming up Milhouse. For this
yes,
guy.
That's for sure. All right, so Jack Ryan, it's again intrigue, foreign places, John Krasinski all buff, and I assume he'll save the world at the end because that's what Jack Ryan does.
You've got a lot of you've got elements of Mission Impossible coming in there. Like at one point, one of the guys like flips open like what looks like a Zippo and then points it at the wall and starts projecting, spy documents on there.
Ooh, cool.
Like, pulls out a pen, and as it turns out, like, it's hiding all of, like, these numbers.
If
it's
you
like,
can only see Adam, imagine
I talk
Steve
with my
Carell
hands. I talk with
as
my hands.
The magician. Every time he would do his magician stuff, that's what Adam's doing.
I know it's a podcast, and you can't see what I'm doing, but, like, there is a physical performance given each podcast.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what we're at now, like 60-something, but each of these has a very physical performance that no one but Jane will ever see.
And I treasure it.
You've also got, it's talky. Like, if you ever watched, an episode of The West Wing, there's a lot of intelligent, conversation going on this, and then you get some really, solid action, when the senators and them go down to Venezuela, everything in this is just it's interesting. I don't ever feel like I'm watching filler. in the show. It's not just like, well, this episode is superfluous. Like, it's just they're almost like their own small movies, which is appropriate enough because Jack Ryan, well, I mean, it started out as a series of novels, but like I think it came to most people's attention in the films. And I would argue that the television show still gives you very much a cinematic quality to it, despite being on Amazon Prime.
Very nicely done. So if you want a good drama, an action drama, I'm not going to call it a comedy, even though there's an aside, there's an
element of comedy to it. But yeah, it's far and away, it is not what I would describe. If you go into this assuming you're getting like The Office season 10, you are incorrect.
No, that's not happening. Speaking of The Office again, I wonder when Pam and Angela will invite us to be on their podcast.
I did. It's called Office Girls or Office Women, something like that. I did see that, and it did pique my interest.
And I thought they would enjoy us immensely.
If nothing else, for just like listening to us gawk about The Office.
Because who doesn't tire of that ever?
I'm sure there are people.
I know. I've spoken to people who say, and I quote, "I don't get that show," and it just, it hurts me. Anyway, I know it's not anyone listening to this because you would have turned off years ago.
Yep.
Coming up TV-wise, I watched just a few minutes of Eddie Murphy in I Am...
Legend.
No, I Am...
Dolemite.
Yes.
I really wanted to keep going and see how long you'd let me do it.
Yeah,
I thought about it. I considered it.
And what I've seen is good, and I've seen about 15 minutes of it. Snoop Dogg is in this. He is not in anything else we have talked about today, including...
Snoop Dogg is in it. He is in the hizzle, is what you're
yes.
saying.
Yes, and he looks like an old man.
Well, okay, keep in mind, like, Murder was the case that they gave him back in, like, 1990, like, something. Like, Snoop Dogg is not a spring chicken or lion or dog or whatever animal he is identifying as now.
Snoop Dogg is...
And let me just tell you, the first time I saw the music video for Murder Was the Case that they gave me, would not have called that guy would have a show with Martha Stewart at some point.
Wow. He was born in 1971. He actually looks much older than...
Listen, Snoop has lived probably a harder life than you and I have. At no point did they give us Murder.
No.
But we also didn't commit it, so, yeah.
Titus and Andromeda is in this as well, from Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay, all right. I heard Titus Andronicus, and I'm like, wait, the Shakespeare, what?
No. Character.
Took me a minute. I'm sorry.
So there are many, and there are many character actors that you will recognize. Again, someone else. You know the guy who was always sitting around in the barbershop at Luke Cage, the guy with the hat playing chess, that guy? He's in it.
Which is, I hope that's the way he's introduced, like, if he gets an Emmy nomination or something for it, and it's like, and the gentleman who had the hat in Luke Cage and did stuff in the background will be presenting the award for Best Cinematic Achievement in Television Movie this year at the Emmys.
That guy. Yeah, he's in it. Oh, and Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy also in it. So it looks very entertaining. I just haven't really gotten through it yet because hashtag children.
Well, I will tell you, like, I've read a couple of reviews for it. I haven't got to watch it myself, but, like, I really am one of those people that, again, I've seen Norbit, so, I mean, I know that he's not.
The reviews are bad?
No. I'm saying, like,
I haven't read any reviews.
I want Eddie Murphy to succeed. Because, like, I was a kid in the 80s and 90s, and, like, Coming to America, Beverly Hills Cop 2, not Beverly Hills Cop 3,
the Golden 48 Child, the
Hours.
Golden Child
2. No, that's not a thing. That's not real. Don't listen to her. I saw Raw and Delirious well before I was supposed to, but I'm just saying, like, Eddie Murphy, and if you weren't around in the 80s, like, you don't similar to kind of, I guess, the fervor or the anticipation for, like, a Jim Carrey movie in the 90s.
Which only you had.
Now, listen, go back and look at the box office grosses. I'm not going to tell you that
All righty then.
Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, is a stupid movie, but I was there opening weekend.
I'm sure you were.
I'm just saying, like, there was a point in time when, like,
still references the cable guy.
Right, Matthew Broderick, the guy from Cable Guy, not Ferris Bueller. There was a point in time, if you cast Jim Carrey in a comedy, you were virtually guaranteed at least $100 million on that. And in the 80s, like Eddie Murphy, if you cast him in a comedy, you were going to get probably a $200 million back on your investment.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, cocaine money in the 80s.
Well, I mean, and this is also when movies only cost like $30 million. Like, this is well before, like, James Cameron, like, sunk the Titanic. Like, this is well before James Cameron, like, had to. If you let James Cameron have a movie, he was going to try to beat his old, like, high score. Eddie Murphy back in the day was just, he was gold.
Mm-hmm.
He saved Saturday Night Live from getting canceled in the 80s. Like, go ahead and watch any of him and the Joe
Piss. He was 19.
Like, I'm just saying, like, he was a ridiculous talent and out of the gate. And then sometime in the 90s, whatever deal he had with the devil, that everything that he touched was Midas-like and turned to gold, apparently just went up in smoke. Like, sometime around, I'd say Distinguished Gentleman, and I hate to keep saying it, Beverly Hills Cop 3. Like, it just, he stopped. I don't think he stopped being funny, or whoever was picking his scripts for him quit or whatever, or they were just like, we will pay you this much. And he's like, wow, that is a dump truck full of money. Yes, yes, I will do that.
Sure. You know, sometimes I think saying yes to a dump truck full of money is not a bad thing.
Well, as you and I like to reference, Michael Caine, who was in the awful Jaws the Revenge, will tell you, I hate that movie, but I love the house that it bought me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm gonna be honest. Like, if you put me in a bad movie and it let me, like, pay off my house, I could live with that. Like, I'd sleep.
I could too.
I'd sleep well at night. Like,
and at this rate, I've been in this house so long, it's not going to take much to pay me to pay off the house.
I mean, if you want to give me, like, a couple extra shekels, like, I'll be fine with that. Like, you know, maybe we put on another wing, or maybe I save that for a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the septic tank backs up or something like that, I can just be like, oh, okay, I don't have to, like, hemorrhage anything because I'm now concerned.
I'm gonna help your septic tank right now.
Okay.
Go in the baker section, buy yeast, the kind you'd put in bread, put all three envelopes in.
I bet y'all weren't expecting that today.
I bet you weren't. Boom.
Boom. Not
septic
only
tank problem solved.
Not only do you get your television needs taken care of, we're taking care of your septic tank.
That's right. Next week, we talk about electricity.
Good times.
No, but that's a real thing.
Electricity? No, I know it.
Oh.
Ben Franklin discovered it. I remember.
Thank you so much for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Craven.
Starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens is a Hintz and Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.